Hi everyone, my name is Victor.
Hi, and I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Katya, and together we are the Grin Marketing Team. Between the three of us, we have expertise across all of digital marketing, which includes, but isn't limited to, SEO, social media, influencer marketing, paid media, content and email marketing, just to name a few areas. And with the digital landscape changing every day, our goal is always to stay on top of the trends. And we love talking marketing. Just ask us, we'll tell you.
So welcome back to Hashtag Fact Check. And today I wanted to delve into a very interesting topic. So I titled it Relationship versus Relationship. I wanted to kind of touch on relationship management and talk about like forming genuine relationships with your influencers. How do you do that? And like, why is that, you know, important, especially in influencer marketing, you know, kind of overall, but then also how that translates to your overall marketing strategy and approach. So let's jump right in. So one of the things that I know that we really stress at Grin is relationships, right? Building relationships, authentic relationships. And I think that it's really important for people to understand that, you know, you have someone who's there selling your brand and you think about it in that way. You think about it very transactionally. While that can sustain for a certain amount of time, it's really your relationship with that influencer and then also the relationship that the influencer has with your brand that will help carry it along. And I think that there is a really important distinction between those two. I think that sometimes when you look at, you know, the world of influencer marketing, when you look at celebrities, when you look at influencers on Instagram or the platform, they're always kind of pushing a product. And I've said this before, where sometimes it seems really inauthentic. But I think if you start your foundation of your program thinking about, okay, I want this person to have a genuine relationship with me as the influencer marketing manager, with our brand, with our messaging, with our value propositions, that sustains and it translates better, even into sales, honestly, because you have someone who can genuinely speak to what your, you know, your product is and what you're selling. What do you guys think?
I didn't really reflect on this until I started working with Grin on just how important relationships as a whole are, and not even just influencer relationships, but all of your marketing relationships. And I'd never really like sat down and thought about all these different legs of marketing, all these different pieces to marketing and how much they leaned on different types of relationships, you know, even talking about PR and, you know, on my side, SEO, being able to reach out to, you know, communications people and request, you know, placed content. And I started thinking of how do you manage all those relationships and how important it is that you do manage them so that you can nurture them. And it's not just a one touch and then they disappear. Because it is important to continue that relationship that works for you in your marketing mix in the long term. What do you think, Katya?
I'm in agreement. So pretty much we can wrap it up. No, I'm just kidding. I am in definite agreement. I think that putting the word relationship in front of marketing in the context that we're talking about it, it's in regards to a brand and in regards to people. So it's tough to be like, okay, this is a relationship, but it really is. An influencer marketing, you know, success story is one that's built on solid relationships. And you have to be able to nurture relationships in the exact same way that you nurture your personal relationships, right? I mean, I think that we can all think of like the people that we reach out to, the first people that you call for, you know, XYZ, if something's going wrong, right? Like, what essentially focusing on the relationship aspect of marketing and just managing a relationship really speaks to is making sure that your brand is that go-to person for when that customer of yours has a problem. And what's interesting is bringing in influencer marketing into that is putting a person behind it, which is part of what makes influencer marketing so successful, because it's a person. It's not a billboard, it's not a flyer, it's not an email, it's not a paid ad. It's a person that you've seen in different elements of their life, right? Because if you think of an influencer, they're letting you into their life. So you see them on good days, you see them on bad days, in sarcastic moments. And so when they're actually talking about a brand, that's why you listen. you're banking on the relationship that the influencer has with their community. So you have to focus on your relationship with the influencer to tap into that. It's a little too like heartfelt, but like it really is so important to really build and nurture that from the marketing side so that you can connect with the right influencers. Because essentially you want them to be brand loyal, which is, you know, one of the things that we talked about with, you know, some of our customers is how do you get started with influencer marketing? You know, what's that starting point? One of the things that we really like to push is like, start with your product, introduce them to your brand, introduce them to your brand story, let them love you, let them fall in love with you. And then you're going to get that authenticity and then they're going to come back. I really like the idea behind relationship management, behind relationship marketing. I think that I interchange the terminologies, but essentially it's both of them, right? It's relationship marketing. It's relationship management through relationship marketing that's, you know, comes out in influencer marketing.
The best example of everything that you just said, which was epic, all that you just said. I remember the first time that I met Ethan Frame from Movement Watches, and we sat down and I was asking him questions about how he got his influencer program started. And I said, okay, so who's your top performing influencer? And I don't remember the guy's name, but he knew it right off top. And he's like, oh yeah, I just sent him and his girlfriend to Iceland the other day. And like the relationship he has with him is not like, hey, you work for me, go take some pictures. He's like, no, that's a friend. I send him on trips with his family. I send him birthday presents. Like we talk on the phone. They are in a friendship, which is what makes the content that that influencer produces so authentic. And then even think about that influencer when he's out in the wild, when he talks about Movement Watches, he's talking about it from a place of love. And you think about when you're having a conversation about something that you passionately enjoy or love or feel anything about, you talk about it a certain way. And the person that hears it a certain way. And I can only imagine just how far that one influencer's reach went for Movement.
It's interesting that you bring up that example, right? Because, you know, we started off talking about relationships and nurturing them and how important that is. And that specific example is such a great example. But I always worry when we really push relationships, the how that must mm-hmm. be going through people's minds when they hear that. Well, that's really great for him to be able to send him on a trip. But in all reality, like, if I have 100 influencers, how can I possibly develop those relationships? How can I nurture those relationships to get them to that? Like if I can barely, you know, talk to my aunt who, you know, lives in Nevada, you know, every other week on the phone, right? Like I don't know if you guys have that sort of knee jerk, you know, I know that we push it and I know that it's successful, but it's the how that I think is interesting to dive into, right? Like
you can't like just go up and say, hey, be my friend, right? Like, right. Like here, please be friends with me. Like
exactly. Love my brand, please.
Well, here's the thing. I think that you have to be patient and you have to know where you're at and understand what you can do. So I don't know if this is a marketing thing, but I'm just gonna say it's a marketing thing. But I feel like we're always trying to figure out what's next without really appreciating where we are. I know for myself working in social media, I will come up with something, I'll be so excited about it. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, now I have to build upon this and it hasn't even launched yet. You know what I mean? So I kind of neglect what I've put in because I'm constantly thinking about something else. And I think for building relationships and looking at influencers, I think when you're first starting your program, it's important to say, realistically speaking, I can only manage this many relationships. Because managing a relationship, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, but nurturing a relationship, building a relationship, forming a, in many ways, like a friendship, right, takes a lot of time. And you want 3 influencers that can really, really, really speak to your brand, that you have great relationships with, as opposed to having like 30 influencers who you kind of know and kind of don't really know. You don't know how they speak about your brand. You kind of feel like, oh, their audience is there, but maybe not. Like you don't really know them. And I think you'll get the better return and value out of the 3 that you can really foster that relationship with. And I think that that's where people need to start. So if you're starting out your program, then understanding like, hey, I can only manage this amount because I'm going to really take my time to build. Or if you have an expansive team, it might be saying out of a team of 3, 4, or 5, we're going to split our influencers up with these people. And it's on you to make sure that you're fostering those relationships. So I think that, you know, that's how you can start, or that's how you can begin to redevelop your strategy if you're already at that place where you have, you know, tons of people on your team, tons of influencers, et cetera. So,
well, and I think you bring up a really good point, and you know who is a really good example of exactly what you're talking about is Organifi, right? Like, they're the ones that initially started their program. They had thousands of people. In theory, having thousands of influencers posting for you sounds great, right? But then they revamped their program, scratched it, and what took 10, I think maybe 15 people from those thousands to really develop and nurture that relationship. And they may have half the amount that they had, you know, a year and a half ago, but they have a very healthy ROI now with a more concentrated effort in their influencer selection, right? It's definitely a really big case for quality over quantity.
And they also split it up, just like Victor was saying. So when they got to a point where they had grown to an amount that it was okay, we're not giving everybody the time that they deserve, they split it out by region. They're not going to have 100 influencers and have 100 awesome relationships just from the get-go. They're going to have 10 influencers that they get to know, and then it grows and it grows. And then when it gets to a breaking point, that's when you split it up. You know, they did territories, they did different regions. That way, all the influencers, all these groups of influencers had one person that was still working with them, still had that tight-knit relationship with them, was a go-to, and wasn't overwhelmed.
I have one more thing to add in regards to the whole nurturing aspect of it. The things that we've talked about are deep into the relationship already. Starting to just nurture can be as simple as a check-in. Again, to use Organifi as the example, it's sending the email and then scheduling a 10-minute call to make that connection. Like, that's a really great place to start nurturing someone, right? And just making notes of when to follow up. Like, hey, you got the campaign, I saw it. If they posted something, or when they post something and you're alerted of that, like, hey, I saw your post, great image. I do want to make sure that we talk about, you know, the extremes of both, right? When you're first starting, it could be as simple as a phone call or just a comment on their post, all the way to a really in-depth relationship, or a relationship that's been a long-term partnership more than just a relationship, right, with an influencer that's like, hey, let me take you guys, or let me buy you a trip to Iceland. So I definitely think there's a place to start, but that's definitely where it can get to. And it doesn't get to Iceland for 1,000 people. I think that those are your warriors, your champions of your influencer roster.
You know, to circle back on movement, and so, yeah, he did send his best influencer to Iceland or wherever it was. But when he talks about how he started out, so he sent out product to his influencers, but he didn't expect anything in return. And I think that builds trust from the very beginning. He would send out watches and he wasn't asking for them to do anything. He wasn't asking for them to like, oh, hashtag movement. He was like, here, take my product. I think you're going to like it. That's a great way to kind of just plant those seeds and watch them grow, because the more that you do that, the more likely they're going to come back. And then that turns into your best influencer. And then you're in a place where you can send them other stuff and send them places. But it starts off with those small acts of attention.
Sounds almost a little too simple, right?
It does, right? When you say it like that.
Yeah, exactly. But it is also true. It is time consuming. That's the part that you kind of need to get over if you're going to start the program. Or yeah. I think, you know, Ethan had mentioned it too in our last fireside chat, set your expectations up then, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
You want to be successful, set your expectations up appropriately. If you don't have a dedicated person, then no, you're not going to get to 1,000 followers, and no, you're not going to see the ROI in the first 3 months. You get out what you put in.
So how do you guys feel about this idea of influencer versus brand ambassador? Because sometimes I think that they're almost thought about the same way. And I think that there is a difference. But do you think that maybe one is a start to the other? Do you think that they're just completely different? Like, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I wrote a blog post about the difference between ambassadors, influencers, and Kohl's. And there is a difference. And it's usually about how they've been recruited and their involvement in the program. So an influencer could potentially be working with more than one brand, whereas an ambassador is somebody that was recruited because they were already spreading the love of brand, and the brand reached out to them. And for the most part, they kind of work with that one brand. It's an ambassador. I rep this brand. Whereas influencers can be a little more across the board. So I do see, I believe there is a difference. I think they can be interchangeable in certain circumstances.
All brand ambassadors are influencers, but not all influencers are brand ambassadors. And when push comes to shove, a brand ambassador, that's someone who has built brand loyalty. And that's what you want as a brand. You want someone to be brand loyal, because someone who is loyal to your brand, to your story, is willing to try the new products that you have, right? They're willing to pay a higher price point because they believe in your brand, which is a higher power than just customer loyalty of like, oh, I need and I want this, but I'm always looking for like the bigger deal. So I would say there's definitely a distinction between brand ambassador and, you know, who an influencer is. I do think that you could probably dive in a little deeper too. There are so many other pieces of kind of marketing jargon that fall into the influencer marketing world, for sure.
You know, relationship marketing, relationship building with influencers. And I really hope that people, you know, can take away a lot of just what we're saying, but then also kind of think about that as you're building your program. Remember that relationships are at the forefront of everything. So with that, check out all things Gren at gren.co. Check back here. We'll be uploading our new podcast very soon. So stay tuned for our 0 to 100 Fireside Chat series, as well as our continued Brands Working Remotely Talking All Things Influencer series as well, which are all on our wonderful website. But yeah, we'll be back next week. So until then.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.